Welcome to Yarning Disability, the FPDN podcast. I'm your host, Bernard Namok Jr. I'm a proud St. Paul Badu and Caribbean man from the Torres Strait. And I'm also the son of the designer of the Torres Strait Islander flag, Bernard Namok Sr., and an advocate for the First Peoples Disability Network. Join me now on Yarning Disability as we showcase First Nations people living with a disability, as well as their families and carers, and other industry professionals.
Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people are warned that the following podcast may contain the voices and names of people who are deceased. The First Peoples Disability Network and the producers of this podcast recognise the traditional custodians of the land on which this podcast is recorded. They pay respect to the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander elders past, present, and the future leaders of tomorrow. FPDN would like to acknowledge our founding elders and their lasting legacy, Uncle Lester Bostock and Auntie Gal Rankin, and acknowledge all First Peoples living with a disability.
This episode of Yarning Disability features Jordan Wisharts, a Bidjara man from central Queensland, but spent all his life on Arida country in Alice Springs. Jordan is FPDN's Training and Engagement Officer for Northern Territory and struggles with severe dyslexia and ADHD. But to him, he doesn't see that as a disability. This episode, we're on location to do some community engagement in the remote town of Maningrida, 500 k's from Darwin in Arnhem Land, at the mouth of the Liverpool River.
Yes, my name is Jordan Wishart. I'm a Bidjara man from central Queensland, but I was raised on Arida country in Alice Springs most of my life. I have an older brother and an older sister.
How long you grew up in Alice Springs?
I was born in Wollongong, New South Wales, which I don't like to admit because I go for Queensland. But 6 months after I was born, I moved to Alice Springs with my grandfather. And since they was raised in Alice Springs, and then I moved to Adelaide. I went to boarding school there in 2010. I went to Pembroke for 4 years, and then went to Flinders Uni after that, and then stayed down in Adelaide for a total of about 10 years, I reckon, and then moved back to Alice Springs.
Yeah. You're an advocate for First Peoples Disability Network. How long have you been working for FPDN?
So I've been working for FPDN for the last 2 years, two and a bit years now. I think maybe it might even close to 2.5 now. I started out in the disability advocacy team for the Royal Commission, and then now I've been pushed over to this new position as the training and engagement officer for the Northern Territory and then the engagement team for the FPDN. But my time in FPDN has been amazing and very eye-opening. I think it's the second job I worked in the disability sector. I used to work for Disability SA back in the day when the NDIS just first initially come out. But I think this is the first time I've actually been working with a mob with disability, professionally, and it's been amazing.
Yeah, you're part of the training and engagement team, and we're currently out here in West Arnhem Land in Maningrida. Tell me about the community and what have you been seeing so far, and some of the people that you've been talking to here.
Yep. We're currently out in Maningrida for phase, I guess, one in this area, but phase two for Darwin within our within the project we're working on. We're currently doing some engagement to run some human rights training. We've developed some human rights training from Uncle Lester's training package, and we're doing some engagement out in Maningrida to hopefully run some more workshops out here next year, to do some community workshops and hopefully some community org workshops. But I think, yeah, the first time in Managrida, I think it's a beautiful place. I've never been in any community out in Darwin, top end. So it's a great experience. The community mob, a lot different, I guess, to Alice Springs and communities I'm used to. I think here they're very more like, a lot more welcome, they're a lot more friendly. Not saying that in Alice Springs it's not like that, but I'm just saying it just feels like I can feel like a real community vibe here. And I've been speaking to, we've spoken to a few different arms of the Malala Health Service here. We've spoken to the NDIS coordinators, the aged care coordinators, and the community wellbeing and community centre mob, and all very, very keen for us to come out next year and to get some training for not only their staff members, but also in the community. We've seen a fair bit here while we're here. We've seen firsthand some of the struggles the community is having, and heard firsthand from the workers and stuff around the struggles that they're having with, I guess, accessibility issues with NDIS services and getting the right support they need to their clients here. And I think it is across the board with very remote communities, but here we can see that it's a real issue, but the community's, I guess, very supportive and supports each other here, which is really, really good to see. And I think the human rights training is going to be very beneficial, but I guess we've got to come out with a different, I think there are a lot of barriers that the community is facing, and we've got to come out and I guess with a new strategy to implement the human rights training to be most beneficial for this community.
And like for mob that don't know where Maningrida is, it's a couple of hundred Ks of Darwin, and I guess, you know, the whatever mob are facing, you know, it's kind of similar across the northern part of Australia, where remote community are facing, like, with accessibilities, housing, and also NDIS package too for mob here in the community. And that's what mob been saying too in the community here too, eh?
Yeah, 100% is that accessing, and I guess the information, just understanding what they can and can't access. And like yesterday they were talking about their plans just get rolled over without actually any consultation or consideration on what's actually happening within the community. Like, we're hearing some of the caseworkers saying their plans aren't getting used up at all because they don't have anything to spend it on out here, or like they want things but they're not able to purchase those things through their plan. So it's like it's not actually working, and you can see the frustration on their eyes and the caseworkers' eyes around, like, if they just listened, or if they could speak to the right person, or that, yeah, just that constant frustration with being passed around to different services, or, you know, constantly passed around to, like they were saying yesterday, they couldn't get onto the Darwin office, that they kept getting passed on to, like, the national office, or because they were so remote.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's just that massive, like, that frustration within the community around their plans and all that information, or just knowing where they could go. Yeah.
And then again, like, you know, the national office, they know the needs for the community, so they have no idea on what mob need in the community, like wheelchair and all them things that people with disability require.
Yeah, 100%. They should be doing, like, especially when they're delivering these, or, you know, making these plans for their clients, they should come out and actually witness and see what the community is like, and what the actually, you know, circumstance of these clients are, like what's actually out for them, what they actually want, you know, like, and make sure that information's, you know, understood from their clients and on both ends. You know, like, there is a massive language barrier here, and that plays a part in when that, you know, they are saying what they want, or they are trying to get across on what they want in their plan, or what they want in life, or what is good for them, you know, like, and they should have that choice, and they should have that that say.
You know, for mob out here, especially in West Arnhem Land, English can be seventh or eighth for some mob here, and delivering training, especially for mob, knowing what rights they have or what rights is out there for people with disability. We'll have to kind of look at that and kind of, I don't know, like find mob in the community, like as a spokesperson, to be that person in between us and the community, to kind of relay that message on, so that message is being delivered out to mob here, eh?
It is a very hard one. Like, as a few of the people said, like there's what, 24 different dialects or something of different languages spoken here, and on average, most people speak about 7 or 8. I think our strategy with here is getting a representative or community representative in first, and maybe engaging them, educating them about what we're trying to do and the training that we're trying to deliver, and then asking them to assist us with the training delivery within the community, so that we can assure that the information is received properly instead of and actually fully understood, any of the information we're trying to share. It is hard, especially working in communities like this, when we're trying to talk about human rights, but across the board we can see just by coming in here that there's so many human rights barriers that aren't being addressed in these communities. So it is a very hard one, and we want to be able to do the best job we can. And we're looking at maybe bringing other members of our team in FBA, maybe some policy teams to come out and see firsthand what the communities are like and what their struggles are, and then even giving their opinion. But I think it's going to be a whole community approach, service. Collaborative approach with others, within all the Aboriginal services here in Manangreeta, to be on board. And I think everyone has shown interest and is keen for us to come along. So
Now, as a training and engagement officer, like, how do you plan a trip like this to go out and visit community and tell community about who we are with FPDN and what are we trying to do out in community?
It is a hard one, like, especially for me not being here before. I have the benefit of Bernard, obviously, has lived some time here in Manangreeta, but I guess the hard bit is getting here. Once you're here, it's a lot easier to just go and try and find community, like going into the services and just asking while we're here on the ground. Emailing and ringing up has shown a bit difficult, where people won't get back to you, or some people are on leave, or when you're working in communities, it works at a different time. Like, there's normal time and then community time, which you hear a lot, is it's not also like there's emails aren't getting back to you. We might have time frames that we have to abide by in while we're in in town and stuff, but out here it's a different story. So it can be a lot harder to engage from afar. But I think the best way is, once you can either meet or get a hold of two or three people maybe that are interested in meeting with you, and then just going off by their instruction, or having some point of reference within the community, and then getting on in there, it's a lot more easier once you're here on the ground to actually engage with mob, whereas over the phone or email, it's so much harder, because people actually don't know who you are, what you kind of do. There's so much with distrust within service providers coming in and out of community, not actually providing what they need to, or we see that across the board. I see that back home in Alice and a lot of the communities around there, and especially in like Turner Creek and stuff, where services have come in and they've promised one thing but delivered another. And so we can see that with any community we try to tread lightly and try to do as best as we can to engage with many of the people and build that understanding before trying to come and deliver anything. We try our best to get an understanding of the community, a bit about the region, and making sure we're speaking to the right people and understanding what the lay of the land is like in the community before we actually come out and engage. It's kind of the best way we can do it.
And when you're out doing engagements, like, do you put your, your advocacy out on and see what barriers, mob in community are facing? Is it different to Central Australia and other places that you've been to?
It's not really that different. It's once you're out in the community, you see like there's so much similarities between communities, especially remote communities, that like everyone seems to be dealing with the same issues, whether that's accessibility, support, enough services, you know, equipment, or it's all really sometimes across the board that everyone's kind of struggling with the same type of stuff. But I think the biggest thing that we're trying to get across is that there's such a lack of education around what supports are out there, where people can actually go to seek support, or you know, to escalate things that are really needing to be addressed. And I guess that's what we're trying to get across. Central Australia is the same as the community out there. I guess the Aboriginal orgs do the best of their ability, you know, with the funding that they get. And a lot of people, when you see what I see across in the communities, is that the community workers are doing above and beyond their positions, and they are there for the right reasons most of the time. And yeah, they are the ones that, you know, are there day in, day out, trying to advocate and try to get as much as they can for the people they're working with. Yeah.
You feel comfortable talking about, I guess, you know, your ADHD and how long back, you know, you kind of realize that?
Yeah, so, well, I guess it's hard because I don't actually see it really as a disability, but that might be just my perception of it. But I've struggled with, because I have severe dyslexia and, I guess, ADHD, and I've only realised that within the last, I guess, few years, after my sister and nephew were diagnosed, and then seeing the difference that they've had once, you know, they've seeked the right support, which has been, yeah, life-changing. I guess for me, it is a struggle when it comes to, like, work and interacting. I can have ups and downs on different days. My attention level, especially working from home, is just another story on itself. Like, it's I get distracted a heap, like, and I've always just thought that was just, you know, that was just a normal thing, like people just get distracted or whatever, or I always just played it off as the way I am. But after researching and hearing more about it and actually seeing like the difference between once my sister and nephew were diagnosed from a psychiatrist, and the steps that they've taken to you know, address that, it's been amazing. Like, mm-hmm. It's been amazing, and it's the strategies that they've been put in place with not only like medication, but addressing it early. Like, it's good, but it is also hard when it comes to like professionally, when you're on your own, and you've got to try to like
occupy
and
distract,
like,
yourself,
not even distract yourself, but stay on point and you know, like, motivate yourself to do these things when you've got so many other things going on in your head. It can become hard, sometimes I think that's why this job suits me as well, because there's so many things to do. We are on the road a lot and we get to go out in community, so it's not always just jagged in the office, you know, going mad, but we do get the opportunity to go out and meet a heap of people and go out and see a lot of things, which, yeah, I think does really help, and it does, like, suit me, I guess. Like, I like being out and about, I like being on the community, I like meeting people, and I think our job actually really matters, and what we're doing can make a, you know, a difference within community. I guess my struggles with my dyslexia and ADHD has been, I guess, lifelong, and I've never seen it as a barrier or something to stop me from doing what I wanted to do. It's just one of those things I've just got to constantly got to overcome every day. Like, it's just one of those things. Like, I wouldn't want it to make a backstep for me or something in my way. It's just one of the things. Like, I struggle with. I forget everything. Like, you just seen the other day, I just think, if I got my bottle, I lose my wallet at front and center. And that memory can, be a struggle in work as well. Like, I can forget a heap of things to do with work, or, I can lose track of time or lose track of tasks, and yeah, it's just one of those things, like, you just, it's a constant battle to keep on top of. And like, I see the difference between how it is with I guess, yeah, work colleagues and even my partner at home, like, how, what's the struggle with, like, dealing with me when I'm in one of those, you know, moments where I'm just, like, frazzled all over the place, and I've just got to actually take that time to come back and center and yeah, reassess and get back on task. But yeah, it can be a struggle, it has been a struggle, but yeah, I don't let it, I guess, deter me or yeah, be a barrier or anything. Yeah,
because I think the only thing we can do, you know, like, is if we make a mistake, you know, just don't take it too much, you know, just reassess the situation and then kind of move on. How do you deal with, like, when you're on the road?
On the road, it's actually good. It's fine, other than the forgetting stuff. But when I'm out and about, and actually, it doesn't, yeah, I don't know, it just comes in, it's just a part of life now. I've actually had to deal with it for so long that it's just become, you know, a part of, you know, who I am. It's just, yeah, I just got to remember, you know, to that, I guess, how my actions are around other people, or, you know, if I'm up and down, or if my mind's running 1,000 miles that other people aren't, they're not actually perceiving the same things that I am. So, like, I've just got to stay in tune with that sometimes, especially when I'm on the road or I'm, you know, engaging with people, especially in community where it's a lot slower. I've just got to remember that the way I am isn't the way everybody else is as well. So I've just got to, you know, take that on board and make sure that maybe if I'm running too fast, or if I'm, you know, gone thinking about 10 million other things, that I've still got to stay centered with who I'm engaging with or who I'm actually talking with, and stay focused on them and making sure that either they feel heard and or whatever I'm delivering is, you know, about the people I'm with instead of everything else running around in my mind. I guess, yeah, that's just a part of the, yeah, part of the everyday, you know, life with these struggles. With working with FPDN over the last 2 years, I've been put in a few different projects. We started off in the first the DRC, and then once coming over to the engagement team, we got to work on developing resources, which was really cool. So we got to go over, yeah, we travel a fair bit. I got to go over to, we did Darwin, Alice, where else did we get to, we got to interview a few of the team members, went to Derby, Broome, Adelaide, I think, where else?
Port Macquarie.
Yeah, Port Macquarie.
Up to the islands.
Yeah, you went up to the islands. Yeah. It's good. I love that aspect of, you know, taking a film crew with us and getting to interview mob from different areas and hear from different, you know, people's experiences with disability and what their stories are with, you know, and even then you hear kind of similarities between mob from different regions of Australia, where it's a lot of the times they had to move into, you know, regional city, metro cities to, you know, access the appropriate support and move off country, or and really see their, you know, hear their stories about wanting to be back home, or having the support they have in the cities out in community would be, you know, a game changer for them. But yeah, things like that was, yeah, really interesting, and I loved being a part of that. You know, that part of the project, and I'm really interested to see what the training looks like when it comes out, where we can look at delivering it to services and archos and ACOs, and see when the videos come are finalized, and yeah, that's going to be, I think it's going to be really interesting and really, really powerful.
Because I think one of the things that I took away from visiting all them places that we've been to and talking to mob is that no matter where you are around Australia, whether you live in remote or regional or big cities, you know, everything is the same. Every mob are, you know, they've got the same struggle, especially like you mentioned there with accessibility, housing, and just I think mob wanting to go back to country and for that healing, eh?
Yeah, 100%. And I think it should be afforded to all my, you know, having the appropriate support out on country is, would be the best, yeah, the best thing for them, you know? Like, if we could, if it'd be in an ideal world where we could do that and have everyone on, everyone back on country and have that choice, you know, like allowing that choice for Mold to be at and where they want to be with family instead of being isolated on their own and having to move away to get the support they need.
And like, you know, you want to talk about some of the services that you think would work for other places that you see that's working, especially around Alice Springs?
I think, you know, like the Aboriginal orgs and stuff, they do an amazing job, especially like back home. Congress does a great job out in the communities and does health. But I think big one for me would be like more like jobs, opportunities for locals, like within the community. Like even here, when we first come here, we've seen other work sites full of, you know, people that weren't from here. That I think there was like a Greek crew or something, like we hear them speaking a different language. That have been, you know, come over to do all the work that could be full of locals doing that, could be trained up and have that opportunity within these orgs. Even some of the services go in, there's a lot of them aren't locals, but I think a big step would be having, you know, filling those roles with locals, having appropriate training out on country so that, you know, we can have more jobs, we can have more money being, you know, staying in the community. And being, you know, being paid and money in pockets out in communities, so we have like a proper economic, you know, thing for the communities. I think that'd be the biggest step for all communities around Australia. So we wouldn't have to be flying people in or flying services in, flying followers in from, you know, from the cities or whatever to come out and do things that the locals could be trained up to do.
What are you looking forward to for, I guess, 2024?
I think 2024 is it's going to be a busy year for our team, with the training being, with both trainings, with the human rights training and the sector strengthening training being completed. Hopefully next year we'll be on the road a lot more as well, so be visiting a lot more communities and hopefully engaging with a lot more mob on communities and different orgs to deliver our training. And I'm excited to see a whole heap of communities and getting out and about. I think it's going to be a very busy year, but it's going to be a massive learning opportunity, you know, to go out and see how everyone's doing, what everyone's struggling with, and seeing if, you know, what support we could offer, if not just by delivering our training or sharing information. And I'm very excited to see what next year holds for our, not only FPDM, but our team.
And if there's mob struggling and I guess, you know, just have it that barrier, you know, like don't know where to go, what to do, is there anything that you want to say to them?
I guess you know, there are a lot of services out there trying to do, you know, the right thing and getting out there. So I think, I guess, seeking help, or if you're in those situations where you don't know who to turn to, or it's just about, you know, trying to find the right information or trying, you know, asking if it's there or trying to get help from whoever's available. If not, there's in our packages, we have a whole heap of information about people you can talk to and where to access these supports. We do refer on to advocates and other services within their regions, whichever communities we do go to.
And if you do feel that pressure, how do you relax and get your mind off things?
I just rely on family, really. I've got a really tight-knit family at home and family and friends, and Alice Springs community is, really, I guess, really good to me as well. Like, I've got a good social life, good community that I surround myself with. And if anything's going wrong, I just chuck it chuck it back on my boss, which is good. Carla's really good. I know I stress her out a fair bit, but no, she's really good to work with, and she's been a massive support for me over the last couple of years working for FPDN.
That was FPDN Training and Engagement Officer for Northern Territory, Jordan Wishart, on Yarning Disability. If there's anything you heard in today's episode that raises concerns for you, there is help available. You can contact 13 Yarn on 13 92 76 or Beyond Blue on 1300 224636 36 or Lifeline on 13 11 14. Thanks for listening to Yarning Disability. I'm your host, Bernard Namok Jr. Follow FPDN on our social media accounts to stay up to date with future episodes and information. You can also visit our website at www.fpdn.org.au.